which I just wanted to tell you that the council supports this legislation, and we also support a proposed committee substitute that deleted some language in the original bill. And the reason that we support deletion of it is that already in statute, there are statutes that take care of arresting for violations of temporary restraining orders and take care of arresting for harassment and trespassing under the domestic violence law. We feel very strongly, though, that parents and or grandparents who are not necessarily living with the perpetrators should be protected by the legislation. And there have been recent incidences in Nome and Bethel in which parents were murdered by their children, and they were not necessarily living with their children. And there's also incidences throughout the state of elder abuse. And so we'd like this included in the legislation.
Any questions?
In 1983, we passed the elderly abuse statute. How does that dovetail with this?
Well, right now, it's mostly a reporting statute, and it is a protection statute, but it does not specifically give the same sorts of things as this legislation does. This provides more protection.
Trouble amongst various family members, that
the court could issue an order, so it was very clear who could and couldn't come in the house, who could and couldn't see the children.
The tenant had to do with this is a warrant. This is a warrant to arrest without a warrant. What are we talking about? What are we getting into all the restraining order and the rest of this? What is that enter into?
Sir, what this bill does is add to the group of people who can get domestic violence injunctions, parents or grandparents. That's all it does. If under current law a person can be arrested.
Where does it say that? Yet?
Well, it doesn't say it in this bill, sir. The provision of law that authorizes that arrest is in Title 12. It's in 1235, and I will read it to you in a second here.
Yeah, but we're talking here in addition to the authority. A peace officer without a warrant may arrest a person. And the new language is a parent or grandparent, a blood marriage or adoption.
Well, sir, under current law, a peace officer cannot arrest for a misdemeanor without a warrant unless it was committed in his presence.
That's Section 8, 1225.030. What's Section 8?
A is grounds for arrest by a private person or peace officer. A private person or peace officer may arrest without a warrant a person, one, for a crime committed in his presence, two, when the person has committed a felony, although not in his presence, and three, when a felony has been committed and he has reasonable cause for believing the person to have committed it. So the peace officer can obviously always arrest for a felony without a warrant, but he cannot arrest for a misdemeanor not committed in his presence unless he gets a warrant. There's another exception to this, which is the DWI.
So misdemeanors are in Chapter 1141, 1146, and 1161?
Yes, sir. 1141 is assault. All kinds of assault, including murder, manslaughter. 1146.330 is trespass, and 1161.120 is harassment.
Well, that's what you're talking about, the restraining order. Is that what you're talking about in there?
Well, actually, you don't even have to have a restraining order.
Well, you keep talking about restraining order, and I don't see that in the relationship is what I'm doing.
Okay, I get you. The tie-in is that the class of people who you can arrest somebody for victimizing under these sections is the same class of people who can also get a TRO. And you see that down in the definition 060.
Right. All you're doing is adding parent, grandparent.
By blood marriage adoption.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then you just put those in the repealed section, or you repeal and put those in there, right?
Actually, what it's doing is changing the definition for domestic violence. See, there, that's in AS-25, so we're talking about, in that section 2, we're talking about the people who can get the TRO, and you add a new section 4 there. 1 through 3 is already in the law, although
that's
it's not
assault,
set out.
Right? That's the assault, regular assault, only this is under the domestic violence assault.
25 is the domestic violence
right.
Assault.
Right. Gentlemen?
I move the bill with the
recommendation. Is there an objection? Substitute. Committee substitute, right? Is there an objection? How many did pass? No, right? Next, Senate Bill 384, relating to food banks. Representative Capone, come forward, sir. Identify yourself. Give whatever testimony you believe relevant.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Will Copeland, District 21, Fairbanks. And I'm here to testify on behalf of this bill, but I have a slight case of bronchitis virus that if I would like to.
Sure. It's a good Samaritan food bill, right?
Yes, I'm Deborah Niedermeyer.
Is that what you're doing? You're just holding them harmless there and.
Should I go through pretty much exactly what it does? The changes it makes?
You can do whatever you want.
I think you can spare us the details.
The problem right now is that large deep pocket firms such as Safeway or Foodland are afraid to give food to a food bank because even though they under their best assumptions the food is fine, if it turns out to be bad, they may be sued because they're liable. What this does is it lowers the liability to says is if they don't know it's adulterated and they contribute it in good faith, it takes a liability away from them. It takes a simple negligence liability away from them and puts them under the standard of gross negligence. Gross negligence meaning they really have to know something's wrong with them to prove that anyway. That's all it does, and it would allow food banks to get access to food which they don't have now.
What impact, if any, would it have upon the manufacturer or initially, ab initio, the guy who enabled the supermarket to put it on the shelf before they gave it away?
Well, what we've done, if you look on the second page, is it under this release of liability or lowering of liability,
right.
It covers people whose principal business is retailing. Manufacturers are not released from liability.
Okay, so the General Mills puts out a study that has dangerous substances in it. The retailer gives it away to the ambient, and that's what he knew the risk was wrong.
That's right.
The manufacturer basically is still on the market.
Precisely.
Okay.
This is Alaska is one of the three states that doesn't currently have a statute.
Yes.
Does this mean that Safeway will not have these shopping carts full of tin goods that have dents in them with no labels for sale anymore, and won't be able to make any more carts?
I never did hear about the mouse who got pregnant with AMP.
No,
I didn't know there was a Safeway.
Okay, gentlemen, forget about that yourself.